2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Dave and Dejanovic.
Oh, man, do not breathe deep. Smoke in the air from fires across the West.
The mountains have disappeared.
Did you notice that?
The mountains have disappeared. I was driving down I-15 yesterday or the day before. Mountains have disappeared on both sides. You look to the left, you look to the right, you may as well be in Kansas.
Well, it started out with that bootleg fire in Oregon, and I'm looking up right now to see how big it is. But last I read, it was growing at like 4 miles a day, just massive. Yeah. It became the size of like half of Salt Lake County, and I think it's grown even more than that. But we've got Utah firefighters in Montana. We've got Utah firefighters in Oregon. We have fires burning out of control in California. We had a couple of fires set this weekend by fireworks, surrounding Salt Lake County. It's all contributing to this really icky air.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got Patrick Costin. You have Unified Fire Authority. Are you there, Patrick Costins? Sorry.
Yes, I'm here.
Unified Fire Authority.
Okay,
yeah, you for, yeah. Are you in Oregon right now, Patrick?
Yes, so we're just up here, just on the mountainside, just finding some fire. This works, but I can hear you guys perfectly. So yeah, I'm just up here with two of the Utah task forces assigned to this fire. There's 42 of us here, and we're just on the bootleg fire that you just spoke about.
Well, tell us, Patrick, a little bit about the fire. How's it going from your perspective, and what are you guys working on right now? What's your role right now?
Yeah, so this fire, obviously, it's a huge fire. You guys spoke just a little about just the size and stuff, but just to put the size in context, so the Salt Lake Valley is roughly 300,000 acres. This fire just passed 400,000 acres.
Oh, my goodness.
So if you think of a forest the size of just the entire Salt Lake Valley, plus that's what's burned here. So that's kind of the big picture just to see why there's so much smoke coming up. That's just a whole bunch of trees. Obviously, all the trees don't burn, but there's a lot of trees that do burn. The good news is for the past few days, this fire's been slowing down just a bit. We've had some good weather conditions. Like Utah, it's just incredibly smoky here. There's days we don't see the sun. It's just a big, huge orange glow. But for firefighting conditions, that's actually good for us because that means the fire's not going to get a big head of steam on. And so it kind of slows stuff down just a bit. So what our task force is doing, we're doing what's called just mop up and then just going direct with the fire. So they've got a road system, and that's your control feature. So you basically say, we just don't want the fire to pass this road. So you post a whole bunch of firefighters. They use hoses, chainsaws, digging tools, just all the different tools and tactics to stop that fire so it can't jump that road. So for the past 3 to 4 days, we've had a little piece of ground or a little section of this fire. It's probably 3 to 4 miles. And that's just the mission. Just keep this fire from crossing this road. If you see big stumps, make sure you put those out because any little wind gusts can pick up embers, throw them across the road. Then it's off to the races again. So, yeah, we've had some pretty good success up here for the past few days. Yeah, it's definitely smoky.
So when you're out there and you've got a patch of ground like you have that that you and the other Utahns are defending, do you stay out there? Do you live out there? Or do you go back and forth to a base camp? I'm curious as to how that works.
Yeah, so we're just out here for a chunk. So they split the shifts to day shift and night shift. That way there's firefighters watching the fire 24 hours each day, 7 days a week. So Our task force got split into two groups. So the first task force, that's us, we've got the day portion, and the night task force has the night portion. And then in between those shifts, we go back to a base camp. And these base camps, they also call them tent cities. So essentially, they just take a big 10-acre field and just set up camps. So, and there's dozens of engines, fire trucks, water tenders, probably 40 to 50 tents with all the different support services. And it's really, it is just a small city. They've got shower trailers. There's four or five semis just cooking food so the firefighters get well fed. There's sleep trailers. So if you want a good night's sleep, or especially for those night shift people, they come off the line at probably 8 o'clock in the morning. The sun's up, it starts to get really hot. So they have these big, huge mobile sleep trailers. You're just kind of packed in there like bunk beds so you can get some good rest. Because you have to go back out the next night and stay up just the whole night. So,
yeah.
And then this fire is so big, there's multiple of those camps. So we're one of four different camps on this fire. So it's a pretty huge operation.
Patrick Costins is with the Unified Fire Authority. He's traveling alongside Utah task forces, two of them that are now in Oregon fighting this massive 400,000-plus acre bootleg fire. When we say Oregon, I mean, Oregon's a big state. Can you give us a reference point, Patrick? Is this fire by any major cities in Oregon?
Yeah, so I think the best description is kind of the southwest portion of the state. So on the border of California, you have Medford, and if you go a little northeast of there, that's kind of where we are. So our trip, we started in Bend, Oregon. Mm. We're about 2 miles directly south of that. So western part of the state towards the southern border with California. That's a rough location.
Been through Bend before, and that area can be very dry. I was reading some reporting this morning at the national level, CNN reporting that there was a firefighter missing in the Montana fire up there, and I got worried that, goodness, I hope it wasn't anybody from Utah and that they're found safely. CNN updating that article that firefighter has been found safe. But it does bring up this question to me, Patrick, as a mom of a firefighter who works for UFA, how do you keep track of these firefighters making sure they're safe when there's fire burning all around?
Yeah. It's definitely a task, and it's a huge task. So just the resource tracking, so make sure, you know, where every single person, every single fire truck, I mean, it's a huge system. We could talk for 20 minutes just on the system, but just know there's dozens of people where it's just their job to make sure people get out safe, get back safe, and just to make sure everyone's accountable. And once we get here to the line, everyone's got someone there's accountable to, so... Yeah, if you're never just out here by yourself, there's always at least a couple people that know exactly where you're working, how many people you have. So, yeah, it's just this big, well-oiled network of firefighters that just come out here and just get work done.
All right, Patrick Costins is with Unified Fire Authority. He's out there in Oregon with teams of Utahns out there who've joined in support of that fire or in support of the fight against that fire. Mm-hmm. Patrick, thanks so much for joining us, and you guys stay safe out there.
Will do. Thanks for having me.
All right. It was our pleasure. Super interesting. I was in Reno, this was years ago, at a motel in Reno, and up drove a Hot Shots vehicle. It said Hot Shots on the side. I can't remember where they were from. Maybe Arizona or something like that. And they pulled up to the curb. It was the end of the day. It was dark. So, you know, it was after 9 p.m., right? This is summertime. And they pulled up there in front of the motel, and they got out. It was like out of a movie. These guys getting out, they're head to toe covered in soot, and they were just, you know, that all the gear and everything on, and it was impressive. These guys are
or were you jealous?
I've always been jealous of firefighters. I was impressed and jealous. I will say this though, once I got to the truck, you could tell they'd been out basically camping and fighting a fire. You could tell. When I got close to that truck, I thought, oh, yeah, you enjoy those showers, boys.
Have you ever been to the Tetons, Ethan?
I have, yeah. I went this year for the first time.
So there's a woman who was camping in the Tetons. She just got slapped with almost $6,000 fine because of her messy campsite.
Oh.
So this bear, a grizzly bear mm-hmm. nonetheless, comes into her campsite and starts eating the food, apparently helping himself to the drinks
yeah.
around. Thankfully, nobody gets hurt by this grizzly bear.
Yeah.
The question that we're going to ask straight ahead during a live interview is this. Will that bear pay the ultimate price for this woman leaving her garbage around the campsite? And by the ultimate price, I mean, will the bear have to be put down?
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.